there's a number of other presentations and discussions that I'm going to do. So eventually some of the things that I'm going to talk about, we have already heard and know about. So I beg your forgiveness for some repetitions that we have made. I'd like to start by showing this map of the mean annual rainfall in Mozambique. It is a country with a very long coastline of almost 2,000 kilometers from the extreme south to the extreme north. And it has a marked difference in terms of climatic characteristics. During the colonial period in Portuguese time, this river that runs here, which is the river Sabe in Mozambique, almost divided the country in two parts. The south of Sabe is mostly the semi-arid region, with very low rainfall, so here we have about 200 to 400 millimeters per year, which coupled with the values that we have of evaporation, potential evapotranspiration, which is in the order of 1600-1700 millimeters, makes it really very dry and arid. And if we look at the map, we have South Africa here, Zimbabwe here, countries that are much more developed than Mozambique. And we have a lot of rivers like Limpopo and Inkomati and Lindolisi crossing the borders. So this is an area where the natural water resources originating in Mozambique are very scarce, and there are important water resources crossing the border, but the Mozambique is on the downstream end of it, so it's not it's a totally guaranteed for the future, the problems that we are facing. But when we look at the central and northern part of the country, the situation is totally different. We have, for instance, in this region more than 2,000 millimeters per year. And in average, we are in the 1,400 millimeters, so this is quite a different situation. And here, this part is a bit dry, it's caused by the large Zambezi River. In fact, this is an area of huge rainfall potential. Okay, this is just to show you what are our main basins. So here, this is an open coming from South Africa and Zimbabwe. And here you see more or less Mozambique, and you see that all of these parts in white are not included in these international river basins. Okay, so we are at the downstream end of all these 80 basins except for the Ruvuma basin that we share with Tanzania, in which we are, let's say, on one side of the river and Tanzania on the other side. And this problem of sharing the basins for us now to deal with water resources is almost an obsession, because there's so much depending on what comes through the borders. Just to give you some figures, 50% of the country is included in sharing the basins. More than 50% of the national flows are cross-border flows. Mozambique is part of 9 sharing basins, and 8 of them is at downstream, which means that progressively you receive less water, and eventually if you are not careful and if you don't have good agreements, more pollution. And the situation is particularly critical in the south region, which is semi-arid. Some large rivers intensively used upstream, but that has also large water uses in most people, because it's the Maputo London water supply, irrigation, the largest irrigation schemes are in the south, and industrial, the most developed industrial area is also around Mozambique. When you consider the main areas of water development, in Mozambique we have rural water supply, and this is important not so much in terms of the quantity of water, but in the difficulty of providing infrastructure that can bring safe water to the rural communities. In a country that has almost 800,000 square kilometers and a population of 20 million people only. So it's a country where the population density is very low, and it makes it much more difficult to really ensure water supply in the other place. Then we have variable water supply, basically for domestic purposes, industrial, also public and commercial, irrigation, and agriculture. And these are in fact the four main vectors of water development in this region. Rural water supply, we are still far from achieving the development goals, and probably will not arrive at those goals in 2015. Rural water supply is basically based on groundwater development, and the main problems that we are community involvement and organization that has to do with sustainability. So it's not enough just to build boreholes, put the pumps. The big problem is to get this thing working after 2 or 3 years. It's also a problem of investments because this is with our very weak industrial basis, that means that these costs are very high and maintenance capacity. When it comes to urban water supply, there's large investments that are being made, basically with external support from the European Union. In main cities, and this has already been, I think, presented here, there are concessions or contract management to private operators, and we have a regulator. I think that's one of the best organized institutional framework that exists in Mozambique, and I think that also in Africa they are quite in a particular situation, at least from the institutional framework. Many problems. Cost of water in very urban areas, and this is a problem that eventually has been discussed, is that there's a cost from the users that receive water from the main network, and then there's the cost of those that are supplied by small private operators, and which is much higher. So in fact, we have this not strange because we see it repeatedly in other parts of African cities, but that sometimes poor people pay much more than let's say, the more wealthy. The other problem is high water losses, and this is something that water companies are trying to improve, and still not enough investment. Not water supply is, let's say, it's our largest and by far most important water system, mostly the largest urban consumer in terms of domestic and industrial use. We have a serious problem of water source until now is in the Mozambique River, but this will not be enough, and the idea is to important water transfer, which implies additional negotiation in South African Swaziland. And I see a potential conflict between the main operators and those small private operators in very urban areas. So the problem is that these small private operators took the opportunity when the network was not expanding to the very urban areas. But what happens now is that now there are conditions to expand the network that will supply the water with better quality and a lower price. But it enters in conflict with those installed operators that sometimes are backed up by some political people with some political power. And so there's the problem is that it's unfair for those served by private operators to have to pay more for water that doesn't have the same level of quality as the water provided by the main operator. In terms of irrigation, this is by far the major water user in Mozambique. For the present irrigated area is still quite small, it's about 100,000 hectares, in a country that has a potential for 3 to 4 million hectares of soil and water conditions for irrigation. But even so, it's by far the major water user. There's a large potential, particularly in the central and northern parts of the country, in terms of soil, water, and climatic condition. But this is still a potential. The commercial farming is what is really now using the innovations, particularly sugarcane, food crops, and now it's appearing, let's say, some new proposals at least for biofuels and the problem that we have is that most irrigated areas are located in the southern part of the country. So close to Maputo, close to South Africa. So this had to do with the what were the centers for consuming this agricultural product or to export them. And basically Maputo was this main center for consumption and for exports. But some regions have the most difficult conditions for the expansion of irrigation because I showed you low rainfall and intensive water use in major regions. Agropower. Mozambique has a good potential for agropower, but it's particularly concentrated in the Zambezi Basin. So Carabas at this moment has an installed capacity of 2,075 megawatt. Potentially it could provide more 1,150. Making a new power station on the northern bank. Lupando Mbua is probably will be built and ready to operate by 2016. It's a 1500 megawatt power production capacity. And total estimated in Mozambique is about 13,000 megawatt. This will be linked to large coal and natural gas reserves in the province and in the environment as well. In terms of power stations. Mozambique will be a net exporter of electricity, so most of this power production capacity will be exported mostly to South Africa, but also to Zimbabwe, if the situation there improves as well, in Malawi, and eventually integrated in this South African power pool, which is one of the big advances that we have managed in the there's a lot of discussion about large water transfer because electricity is relatively easy to move around. So we have our grids becoming interconnected between Mozambique, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Malawi, Tanzania, in the future with Angola and so on. So it's not that difficult. But water is much more difficult. Much more massive, so it's not so easy to talk about water transfer. We are seeing South Africans increasingly water stressed, and they have already water transfer from the Lesotho Highlands, one of the major water transfer. But this situation of water stress is spreading to other countries like Zimbabwe, Malawi, Swaziland, besides those countries that are already in a difficult situation because they are added countries like Botswana and. And that talks about mega projects for water transfers to the south. There's South Africa South Africa has this project to take water from the Zambezi for use, and they have consultants dealing with it. And now they are talking also about transferring water from the Congo. My opinion is that one of the reasons why the DRC is a member of SADC is basically because of its water and other power potential. That is being a bit silly about the real motivations of South Africa. The problem of sharing water in international river basins, I already explained why this is so important to us. Equitable allocation of water in international river basins. This is not difficult when you have a lot of water and the demand is not so big. But when water resources are scarce to satisfy growing demand, and that's the case of the import of the Komato and Indonesia and Mozambique, the southern part of the country, then it becomes really difficult, and there it's where the countries look much more to themselves to this kind of regional integration. We have some good things. We have the SADC protocol on shared water processes, which has excellent principles and guidelines. It's not so excellent in terms of results after the 13 years since the first protocol, or the 8 years after the revised protocol. We have, for instance, the Inco-Maputo agreement signed in 2002. This was done with the support of Portugal and also Benelux. In my opinion, the one of the problems with this agreement is that it is so complex that after 6 years, we are still making studies on how to implement this agreement. We are also doing, with South Africa and other countries, joint studies. And this is a good way forward to create a common objective knowledge basis and understanding. For instance, for the rules in this movement. But still, no agreements resulting from it. Besides that, peace is discussing not only what real basis, but what about what the conflict inside Mozambique? Well, there's a priority in domestic and urban water supply. This is in the law, in the water law. And this means that when we are in a period of drought, it's possible to shut down irrigation intakes to reserve water for urban water supply. But there are a number of conflicts that require negotiation and compromise. First of all, development of large dams in the world, of social and environmental impacts that have to be assessed and mitigated. Then the operation of existing dams, for instance, the balance between hydropower and flood mitigation. Let's say for flood mitigation, we would like the dams to be as low as possible when the wet season starts. For hydropower, they want to have the water as high as possible to use the net gap. Also, the problem of flood control versus conservation of wetlands in the case of the Zambezi Delta. Environmentalists would like to have inundations in the Zambezi Delta, but for that we should inundate also, I don't know, maybe 500,000 persons in the trajectory of the river between, let's say, Madagascar and